Zakt the Mishnah of Shvuas Hatikadon. The Shvu in regard to a dispute over a Tikadon, over a deposit. Nehegas Bianashim Ubinashim, men and women, Berchaikim Ubikraivim, relatives and non-relatives, Bikshayim Ubitsula. Now there is no real Chiddush over here, but Aidi Dutan explains Rashi in regard to Shvuas Hu Eidus, that it is just Noyig in regard to people that are Kashuli Eidus. The Mishnah tells us over here that that is not the case with Shvuas Hatikadon. Even if he's a relative, if he's a karev, if the Baal of Pekadon happens to be a karev to the person that had the Pekadon, it makes no difference. All halachas still apply. So, the Mishnah writer, Bifnei Bezen and Ushaloi Bifnei Bezen, when it's Mityats, when he himself makes the Shvua, or if he answers Ami to a Shvua, if he is made afterwards that he lied, he will always be Chayiv. However, if somebody else was Mashbiya him, Eine Chayiv Atshiach Birenu Bebezen. In that case, he would not be Chayiv until he lies in Bezdin. Divrei Reb Meir. Mepi Acherim means that he didn't answer Ami. Somebody said that I am Mashbiya you, you should return my Pekadon. And his response was, I don't have your Pekadon. In this case, he is not Chayiv until he is Kaifer in Bezdin. That is Reb Meir's opinion. And the reason is that the whole concept of Mushbim and Piacherim by Pekadon is learned from Shvuas Hu'edus. If we look at the Psukim of Shvuas HaPekadon, there is no mention over there of a Shvuam and Piacherim. And Rameh is of the opinion, once you learn the concept from Shvuas Hu'edus, you have to apply all the halachas of Shvuas Hu'edus. The Kfira of Shvuas Hu'edus has to be in Bezdin, and Mela the same is true for Mi Piacherim in regard to Shvuas HaPekadon. The Kfira has to be Dafka in Bezdin. The Chachamim say, Bein mipi atzmai, bein mipi acherim. It makes no difference if he himself swore or somebody else was mishbiya him, kima shakafa by chayiv, even though he is not in Bezdin. The Chachamim say enachanami, the whole concept of mipi acherim by Shvuas HaPekadon is learned from Shvuas Hu'edus, but that does not mean we have to apply the halachas of Shvuas Hu'edus. Shvuas Hu'edus has to have its kfira dafke in Bezdin, Shvuas HaPekadon does not. In regard to Shvuas HaPekadon, the pasuk says, v'chichesh ba'amisoi, and we dashna fila kaldahu, even if the kfira was not in Bezdin. Most chiyuvi karbanes come b'shoigeg. Shvuah is the exception. Here it's just the opposite. The chayiv of zodin hashvuah, he is dafka chayiv when he is amazed on the shvuah, when he is aware of what he is getting into. V'yal shigigasa im zodin hapekadon. Or he's a shoigeg about the shvuah, he didn't know that there's a chiyuv karbon, but l'maisa he's amazed about the pekadon, he knows he's lying. The ain chayiv, and he is bedafka not chayiv a karbon, al shigigasa greidasa, when he is a shoigeg about the whole pekadon, when he thinks that he indeed does not have the Pekadon. Now the reason is, while in regard to most Karbanis, we find the word vanilla, that it was inadvertent, it was b'shoigeg, that word does not appear in regard to Shvuas HaPekadon. And Rashi explains the reason that he is potter, if he is a shoigeg, if he really believes he doesn't have the Pekadon, is because in that case it is not a false shvuah. He really thinks, when he says, I swear I don't have your Pekadon, he is speaking the truth, he thinks he doesn't have the Pekadon. It may not be a fact, but as far as he is concerned, he speaks the truth, he's not lying. He doesn't know anymore. Sakta Mishnah Vaita, Asha, he has to bring a carbon Asham, the Kesev Shkolim, that is bought at least with two Sloim, because the Pasuk says, by the Eil Ho Asham, the Erkecha Kesev Shkolim. Now the Mishnah goes into detail. Shvuas HaPekadon Keitzat. What is the structure, what is the setting of Shvuas HaPekadon? Sakta Mishnah Amalei, Reuben goes to Shimon, and he says to Shimon, Tanli Pekdayne Sheyeshli Biyadcha. I gave you a Pekadon to watch for me, thank you, now I would like it back. Shimon's response is, however, Shvua she'ein lach biyadi. I swear that I don't have it. I shamalai, ein lach biyadi, I don't have it. Mashbiyachu ani, v'yaman, he responds, amen. So it makes no difference if Shimon makes the Shvua himself, or he responds, amen, to Reuven's mashbiyachu. In both cases, chayvi is chayv. Hishbiyal of chamish panim. If he was mashbiyim 5 times, bein bifnei bezen, ubein shaloi bifnei bezen, it makes no difference if it's inside Bezdin or outside of the court. The kafir, and he denies it. Chayiv al kolachas v'achas, he is chayiv on each individual time. Amar Rav Shimon matam, and they say yochel lachzer ulahoidus. Now this is contrary to Shvuas Hu'edus. In regard to Shvuas Hu'edus, the klal is kivan shehigid, ein chayzeri magid. Whenever you have edus, you can't just retract a statement. Once a person says that he doesn't know edus, he is automatically an invalid witness. The mele, when he denies for the first time that he doesn't know any Eidos, he can't be Chayiv the second time, because he's no longer a Kashra Eid, and Shvuas Hu'edus applies only to a Kashra Eid. Mashenkin in regard to Shvuas HaPekadon, where the potential is there for him to retract his statement and say, yes, I do have your Pekadon, and then lie again and say I don't have it. So each Kvira is considered another Kvira's Mammon, and the Meili is Chayiv for each time separately. Zach the Mishnah Vait. Haya Chamisha Taizemaisai. Five people come to Shimon, and Amr Levi, they all say to him at once, Tan Lanu Pekadin Sheyesh Lanu Beyadcha. Give us back our Pekadin. And Shimon responds by saying, Shvua She'ein Lachem Beyadi. I have nothing of yours in my possession. Ein Echayev Alachav. He is only Chayev one carbon, even though in effect he lied to five different people. On the other hand, if Shimon gave a specific response, and he said, Shvua She'ein Lach Beyadi V'loy Lach, I don't have yours, V'loy Lach, and not yours. In this case, Chayev Kolachas V'yachas, because he made independent Shvuas. Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, it would not be considered independent Shvuas, Ad She'yomer Shvua Biachroina. He has to say, Loy Lach, V'loy Lach, V'loy Lach, Shvua. I swear to that. Only if he says the word Shvua at the end, do all the Lachs constitute independent Shvuas. Reb Shimon says, it would not be considered independent Shvuas, Ad She'yomer Shvua L'chol Echad V'yachas. So we have three Shitas over here. The Tanakhama says, as long as he says loy lach, v'loy lach, v'loy lach, it is automatically independent shvuas. Rabbi Eliezer says, he has to say the word shvua at the end. If not, it would not be considered independent shvuas. And Reb Shimon is the most lenient. He says he would not be chayiv on multiple shvuas unless he repeated the word shvua each time. And he said, shvua loy lach, I don't have yours, shvua loy lach, and shvua, I don't have yours. Now the Mishnah tells us another case of possible multiple shvuas, but here with one person. Previously, we had several people with one taina. Now we have one person with several claims. One person goes to Shimon, just Reuven. And Reuven says to Shimon, Tanli, please give me pekada, my deposit, the sesuma siad, the loan, gazel the aveda, the thing that you stole, and the aveda, the thing that I lost, sheyashli biyatcha, because you have all of these in your possession. Reuven is alleging that Shimon has many different items of his. Something that he stole, something that he loaned, something that Shimon lost and Reuven found, and also a deposit that he placed in his possession. And he says, I would like all of these back, please. Shimon's response, Shvua she'ein lach diyadi, one statement, I have nothing of yours in my possession. Ein echayv al'achas, if he turns out to be lying, because he made only one statement. On the other hand, if Shimon's response was specific, and he said, Shvua she'ein lach biyadi pekadin, I don't have your deposit, sesumas yad, I don't have any loan, gazel v'yaveda, I didn't steal anything from you, I don't have anything that was lost, chayiv al kolachas v'achas, in this case he is chayiv on each one separately. So we had a case of multiple people, we had a case of one person with multiple tainis, with different types of things that Shimon would have in Reuben's possession. Now we have strictly one person and one concept, pekadin, but different types of pekadinis. If Reuven says to Shimon, Ten li chitin, give me my wheat, the siren, my barley, because min and the spelt, sheyashli biyadcha, that I have by you, all in the form of a pekadin, and Shimon's response is, Shvua she'ein lach biyadi, I have nothing in my possession, namely chayiv ala'achas. On the other hand, if he says, Shvua she'ein lach biyadi, I don't have chitin, I don't have your siren, and I don't have your kusmin, chayiv akol achas li'achas. Here the chiddush is, that even though it's all one concept, being that Shimon itemized in his response, saying, I don't have your chitin, I don't have your sa'ayin, and I don't have your kusmin, he is chayiv on each one separately. Rameir says, Afilama, even if Shimon says, chit usa'ayin the kaisens, I don't have one single piece of wheat, or one barley, or one piece of spelt, he is still chayiv al kolachas. The achas, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what Rameir is saying. Zakta Mishnah Vait. Let us say now, for example, Reuven approaches Shimon, and he says, Anasta ipatisa es diti. You are mi'anis, or you are mefata, my daughter. That means, in effect, that there's a certain amount of monetary compensation, or knas, that Shimon now owes Reuven. V'hu aymer, and Shimon says, it's not true. Lo yanasti v'lo ipatisi. I was not mi'anis, your daughter, and I was not mefata, your daughter. Mashbiyachu ani, v'omer, and he says, amen. Chayiv, so he is chayiv. Reb Shimon, however, says that we cannot compare this to a regular case of Shvuas HaPekadin, where Shimon has something that belongs to Reuven. And the reason is, She'enoi Meshalim Knas Alpi Atzmai. If Shimon on his own would admit what he did, he would not have to pay the Knas. So you see the fine isn't a regular monetary obligation, because if it was a monetary obligation, well, my nafkin mina if he admitted on his own or not. If you have to pay, you have to pay. Elamai Knas is a whole different kind of concept. And mainly you can't apply the regular guidelines of Kfiras Mami to Knas. Amulai, so they said to Reb Shimon, Afal pi she'ena mishalim Knas al pi atzmai, but that isn't the only thing that Shimon owes Reuven. If indeed he was Mefata or Mianis, his daughter, there is Boishes, there is Pgam, he has to pay for the embarrassment, he has to pay for the Pgam, and these are definitely monetary concepts. the Shalom Boshes of Gam al Piatma, even if he would admit on his own, he would still have to make up for it. So Mimela, we should apply the regular guidelines of Kfiras Ma. And the Gemara, we are going to see, B'ez Hashem, what exactly the Machlokes is over here between Reb Shimon and the Amrulai. Zak the Mishnah Vayit. If Reuben approaches Shimon and he says, Ganafta es Shayri, you stole my axe. V'hu Aymer, he says, Loi ganafti, I did not steal your axe. So he says, Mashbiach lani v'yama, and Shimon says, Ame. It turns out that he did steal his axe, Chayv is Chayv. If, however, Shimon's response is as follows, Ganafti, it is true, I stole your axe. Avoloi tevachti v'loi mecharti. I was not the one that slaughtered your axe or sold it. Reuben is claiming four times the amount of the axe, because that is the halacha, when somebody steals the axe and then sells it or shechs it. Mashbiachani, he claims the shvua, the amar, and Shimon's response is, ame. In this case, pater is pater. Even if it turns out that he was lying, that he was the one that slaughtered the axe or sold the axe, it is still a knas. And being that it is a knas, it is not considered a regular chiyuv mamay, and we cannot apply the guidelines of regular kfiras mamay. If Reuben approaches Shimon and he says, Hamas Shaykhet Shayri, your axe killed my axe, Vahu Aimer, and he says, Loi Hamas, it did not kill your axe, my axe is innocent, Mashbiach Oni Vyomer Amen, in this case, Chayvi is Chayv, because this is a regular Kfiras Mamein. If he knew for a fact that his axe did kill Reuben's axe, then he was lying about a monetary obligation that he had. However, Hamas Shaykhet Avdi, if Reuben goes to Shimon and he accuses him, your axe killed my Evet, Vahu Aimer, and he says, Loi Hamas, he did not kill your Evet, Mashbiach, when he swear to me, the Amar, and he says, Amen. In this case, Pater, he is Pater, because the Shloishim Shalevet, again, is a knas. It's not a regular monetary obligation. And even though Shimon was lying, he knew that his axe did kill his Evet. This is not a regular Kfiras Mamein, and in Mela, there is no Chiyav Shvu over here. Rashi explains, we know that the Shloishim is a knas, because it's a standard amount. The Torah says, whenever a Shar kills an Evet, you have to pay Shloishim, even though the Evet is only worth a dinner. So you see, it's not a monetary obligation, because a monetary obligation is based on the amount of damage. And if this is just a flat knas, it is a whole different kind of a concept. Amarlai, Reuben comes to Shimon, and he says, Chaval tadi, you hit me, and you owe me money. There is compensation that has to be made for damages. V'yosisa bi chabura, you made a chabura in me. You made a wound. V'hu, Aymer, Shimon says, Loi chavalti, I didn't hit, v'lo yosisi b'cha chabura, I never made a chabura. Mashbiach lani, the Yomer, and Shimon says, Amen, fine. Should it turn out later that Shimon was lying? Chayiv is chayiv, because he lied about a kfiras moment, about a monetary obligation. On the other hand, if the slave of Shimon comes to Shimon, and he says, Yipalta Shina, you knocked out my tooth. V'simasto esayinai, the evitain is that he blinded him. V'hu Aymer, and Shimon says, Lo Yipalti, it's not true, I did not knock out your tooth. V'lo Yisimasti, I did not blind you. Mashbiachani, the slave says, I am Mashbiya, you will be Amar Amen, and Shimon says, Amen. Pater, he is Pater, even though it turns out later that Shimon did knock at his tooth, or his eye. Zaklau, Kala Mashalam Apiatsmoi Chayiv. Wherever you have an obligation, where should he admit on his own he would have to pay, Chayiv, then he is Chayiv, because that means this is a regular monetary obligation. And should he be Koifer, should he deny this obligation and accept the Shvuah, so he's Chayiv and Shvuah for the carbon, he has to bring the carbon. However, if he lies about something that he has to pay, but it's the type of thing where she'ena meshalem al piyatzmai, would he have admitted on his own he would not have to pay? Pater, then he is pater, even if he didn't admit on his own. Being that it's a knas, like knocking out the tooth of an eved, which is just a knas, it isn't a monetary obligation that he owes to the eved to go free. There's a knas, the Torah said, this is a fine for knocking out the tooth of the eved. The male is not shech to say that there is a chiyuv shvua on it. The chiyuv shvua applies only to regular kfiras mamon. This is not a kfiras mamon. Now, as we have explained in the previous parak, the Rambam paskens that even if a person does damage to someone else, and he makes up whatever he has to do in a monetary sense, he pays all damages, nezik tzar, ripli shevis, and boishes. When Yom Kippur comes, or before that, preferably, he still has to ask mechila. The fact that he paid for the damages, he paid the nezik tzar, ripu shevis, and boishes for hurting someone does not mean he doesn't have to ask mechil. And the way that Rambam is understood is that there are two separate chiyuvim. There is a chiyuv mitzad mominis, and besides for that, there is a terrible pgam. If somebody does damage, even if someone's possessions hurt someone else, the person has to rectify that. Something is wrong. He didn't have the siyata the shemaya to make sure that he doesn't hurt someone. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if one hits another, he's automatically in chayrim. These are all concepts that have absolutely nothing to do with the monetary obligation that he owed. In a sense, knas is the same way. And Naftali Trapp, in one of his shiurim on Maseches Bava Kamma, explains that moida b'knas partur, according to certain shitas, does not mean that because he admitted, you can't collect the knas from him. It means that when a person brings himself to admit that he was wrong, to come into Bezdin and say, I did it, and I'm willing now to pay the price, there is no need for him to pay the knas. Because the knas is not a monetary obligation to the other person. If it was a monetary obligation, then his emotions have absolutely nothing to do with it. Until he rectifies that obligation, the situation has not been corrected. But knas is something that comes to be misaken in the other aspect, not the monetary aspect. The other complications that a person gets involved in when he hurts someone else. Besides for paying for the damages, there are other tikkun that a person has to go through until he is accepted, until he is a pious Jew once again. And the mela, the knas, has nothing to do with the shvuas hapikadon. Shvuas hapikadon is a kfiras mamon. Knas has nothing to do with kfiras mamon. It isn't a monetary obligation. It is a whole different aspect, a whole different concept in being misaken behesek. Now, once again, Rabbi Kivega points out, it is possible to have a hechatimtza where Reuven is tzeya Shimon on a knas, and even if Shimon would be moida, he would still have to pay the knas. For instance, let us say Reuven comes to Shimon, and he says, you owe me a knas. Your shar killed my evet. We were in Bezdin already, and Bezdin already gave out the psak that you have to pay me the money. Should Shimon go now and say, I swear that this never happened, and then it turned out that it did happen, there was a din tayre, and Bezdin did give out a psak that Shimon has to pay, Shimon still would not be chayav a karban for shvuas hapikadon. One could argue that the only reason you don't have to pay for knas is because if he would be a moida b'knas, he would be pater. In this case, that's not true. If Shimon would come and he would say, I admit, we did have a din tayre, and Bezdin did say I have to pay, he would not be pater. It is only if you are moida before a psak Bezdin, but once there was a psak Bezdin already, his admission afterwards is meaningless. Despite that, there would not be a chiv of a karban for shvuas hapikadon. Because the Bekivegi explains the point isn't the technicality, if or if not, you can make him pay on the basis of his own admission. The point is the concept. The fact that this is the type of concept where if he would be moidi, he would be potter, teaches us that it's not a monetary obligation. So the Gemara, Rav Acha bar Hona, Rav Shmuel Berei, the Rabbi bar Barchana, and Rav Shmuel, the son of Rabbi bar Barchana, Rav Yitzchak Berei, the Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, Tanu Shvois Bei Rabba. All of these Talmidim were learning about the concept of Shvois in the Yeshiva of Rabba. Now the setting seems to be that we have here somewhat of a second generation, Rav Acha, the son of Hona, Rav Shmuel, the son of Rabbi bar Barchana, Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, all children of well-known Amiraim, learning about Shvuais at the yeshiva of another well-known Amira, Rabba. Now, as the dialogue continues, we can understand perhaps why the Gemara gives us this type of a setting. So, the Gemara, Pagabu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana meets these Talmidim, and he probably asks them, what are you learning? And they tell him that they are learning all about Shvuais now in the yeshiva of Rabba, and naturally Rav Kahana would have a shaila for that. Amalahu, he says to them, we go now to the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. Hizid v'shvuas hapakadoin v'hisruboi. Mahu, what is the halacha? Now we have to understand first as follows. B'chola terakula, in regard to the kapara of chait, there are generally three steps. There's shaygeik, there is mezid without hasra, and mezid with hasra. The first and the last are basically simple. Shagig, b'chola terakula, usually results in a karban chatas, and mezid with hasra is malchus. Mezid without hasra is where the person is caught in the middle. We can't give him malchus because there was no hasra, and there was no karban because karban generally is only relevant to a shagig, not to mezid. Now suddenly we have here this concept of shvuas hapikadon. In regard to shvuas hapikadon, we are saying that even though he is a mezid, there is a karban. The carbon for shvuas hapikadon is different than the carbon b'chala terakula. The carbon is for a shaygeg. Here, the carbon is for a mezid. So how would we apply the same three steps to shvuas hapikadon? Let us suppose we have shaygeg plain in regard to shvuas hapikadon. There really is no shaila. Although generally, shaygeg results in a carbon, there is no carbon for the shaygeg of shvuas hapikadon. There is no malchus, of course, because there is never malchus for a shaygeg. The second step, the intermediary step, where we have mazed without hasra, is also rather simple in regard to Shvuot Hapikadon. Because if we don't have hasra, it is impossible to give malchus. And we know that for a mazed there is a carbon. So that's poshut. Shaygig b'Shvuot Hapikadon has nothing, mazed without hasra has the carbon. The problem is the third step. What happens in regard to Shvuot Hapikadon where we have a mazed with hasra? What complicates this problem further is that there are three possibilities. There is a tzad to say that there should strictly be a carbon and no malchus. Although b'chol haTorah kula, when we have a mazed with a straw, there is malchus. But b'chol haTorah kula, we don't have a carbon for a mazed. And the mele, if we have a carbon here for a mazed, that means there simply is no malchus with a straw or without a straw. When it comes to Shvuot Hapikadon, it is strictly karbonis that we are dealing with. That is the first tzad of Rav Kahana's Shaila. Let us see the Gemara inside. Here's it, b'shuas ha-bekadin, v'his rubay, and there is hasra. Step number three. Ma, what is the halacha? Tzad number one is to say, kibon de chiddushu, this is a chiddush, de b'chol ha-toyra loy ashkechon mezid de maisi carbon. We generally never find that a mezid should be chayv in a carbon, and the hach over here, maisi carbon. Here we have a tremendous chiddush, that he is amazed, and he still brings the carbon. So Mimela, we see over here that Malchus has absolutely nothing to do with this. And Mimela, Loishnu Asribe, Loishnu Loi Asribe. It makes absolutely no difference, even if there is Hasra. Malchus simply has nothing to do with Shvuot Hapikadon. Oidoma, continues the Gemara, perhaps there is another argument. There is an argument to say that if there is Malchus b'chol haTorah kula by mazed with Hasra, the same is true for Shvuot Hapikadon. Aye, the Torah says over here that there is a carbon for mazed. Of course there is a carbon. But when? In the intermediary step, mazed without Hasra, where you can't give Malchus because there is no Hasra, although b'chol haTorah kula that is nothing more than a dead-end street, because there is no carbon and there is no Malchus without Hasra, over here, in regard to Shvuot Hapikadon, there is a carbon. But if there is Hasra, then we don't need the carbon. Then there is Malchus. Oidelma suggests, Rav Kahana, Hani Mili, when do we say that there is a carbon for the mazed of Shvuot Hapikadon? Hechad de loy asri bay, where there is no Hasra in the intermediary step. Aval hechad de asri bay, but in the third step, where there is mazed and Hasra, perhaps even in regard to Shvuot Hapikadon, Milkalaki, there should be Malchus. But carbon loy maisi, there should not be a carbon. So Rav Kahana has suggested two possibilities thus far. Mazed with hasra by Shvuot Hapikadon is a carbon and not malchus. Or mazed with hasra by Shvuot Hapikadon is malchus but no carbon. Or perhaps there is a third possibility. Hava ha'avdina. Perhaps mazed with hasra in regard to Shvuot Hapikadon would result in both malchus and the carbon. There is a svar to say that we apply the regular halachis of Malchus. Why shouldn't we? If Mezid Basra is Chayv Malchus B'chol haTorah kula, why should Shvuot Hapikadon be any different? Elamai, because there's a carbon? So why should that stop the Malchus? Perhaps he is Chayv both. He is Chayv the carbon and the Malchus. Now before we go any further, Rashi points out several factors. Number one, why does Rav Kahana and the Gemara in general wait until this Perek to ask the Shaila? Apparently, we should have the same Shaila in regard to the previous Perek. Shvuot Leidus is the same as Shvuot Hapikadon. For Shvuot Leidus too, there is a carbon b'mezid. So we should have the same Shaila. What is the halacha b'mezid with Hasra? Is it carbon without Malchus? Is it Malchus without carbon? Or is it both? Why do we wait for Shvuot Hapikadon? So Rashi says the reason is because it's not Shai Hasra in regard to Shvuot Leidus. A basic concept in Hasra is that it has to be Hasra's Vadai and not Hasra's Safek. The people giving the Hasra have to clearly understand that the person is about to be Chayte, he's about to do an Avera. Now, if I am giving someone Hasra that we dare you not to refuse to testify, that is always Hasra's Safek. Because how can we know for sure that the person knows the testimony? Let us say Reuben and Shimon are standing here, and they see Levi and Yehuda witness a certain incident. So l'chayr, Reuben and Shimon can give Hasra. They know for a fact that Levi and Yehuda did witness that incident. And if Levi and Yehuda refuse to testify, this should be a valid Hasra. And you can't say, Well, if Reuben and Shimon were here and they saw Levi and Yehuda witness the incident, then Reuben and Shimon also witnessed the incident. In that case, no one's chayiv. Because in regard to Shuas Huedis, if there is another alternate group of Edim, then the first Edim aren't chayiv. So the Yechonim explained that that is not a taina, because it's possible to say that Reuben and Shimon are relatives. So they can't testify. But they did see Levi and Yehuda witness the incident. They could give Hasra to Levi and Yehuda. So why does Rashi say that it is not Shaya Hasra b'Shuas Huedis? So that Itfa explains, and Tosfos also explains, although Tosfos approaches it from a different standpoint, but Lamaisa, the bottom line is as follows. Number one, it is extremely difficult to assess what another person saw. Levi and Yehuda were standing there, but if they say they can't testify because they didn't see enough, they didn't understand enough, whatever the case is, it is hard to prove them wrong. And in addition, they forgot. If they say they don't recall what happened, how can you be sure that they do recall what happened? So Hasra in regard to Shuas Huedus, says Rashi, is impossible. The Melet of Kahana does not present these series of arguments in regard to Shuas Huedus, because of course the carbon for mazes by Shuas Huedus is dafka where there is no Hasra. It's not Shaykh Hasra. But in regard to Shuas HaPakada, where it is clearly Shaykh to say there is Hasra, as the Ritva paints the picture, if Reuben and Shimon see Levi accepting a Pekadai, the Pekadai is in his house, it is in front of his very eyes, he sees it every single day, and if he is about to come to court and say, I swear that I don't have this Pekadai, I never accepted it, it is quite obvious the Edom can give him Hasra and say, we know for a fact that you are about to lie. The Melet of Kahana has his Shaila, and once again his Shaila is, what is the status of mazed with Hasra? Do we say the carbon is bedafka mazed without Hasra, but mazed with Hasra is only Malkus? Do we say that even mazed with Hasra is strictly a carbon? Malkus has no place whatsoever in regard to Shuas HaPikadon? Or do we say that perhaps we have both? If there is mazed and Hasra in regard to Shuas HaPikadon, there should be both Malkus and the chiyuv of the carbon. Now, before we go further, the other nekud that Rashi points out is that although in the Rav Kahana's argument, the statement appears that b'chala terukula we never find such a thing, that a mazed should bring a carbon besides for Shuas HaPikadon, Rashi and Tosfos both explain that Rav Kahana really does not mean b'chala terukula, because there are several exceptions where a mazed does bring a carbon. There is Baal HaShivcha, there is another Shanitma, and Shuas Huedus, along with Shuas HaPikadon. So what Rav Kahana means is that generally we don't find a carbon for mazed, but indeed there are several exceptions. Amalei, let us recall that Rav Kahana presented this Shaila to the Talmidim that were learning the concept of Shuas by Rabba. Amalei, so the Talmidim suggested that Tanina, perhaps Zei Beferish HaBaraisa, your Shaila about Malkus, in the case of Shuas HaPikadon be mazed with Hasra. Because we learned the Baraisa as follows. Chamura Himena Shuas HaPikadon. Shuas HaPikadon is more stringent than Shuas HaEdus. Shechayavin al Zedoina Makos, because on mazed of Shuas HaPikadon there is a chi of Malkus. The al Shigigasa Asham the Kesef Shkalim. And on the Shoigeg there is the carbon. Now when we say Shoigeg over here, we don't mean a true Shoigeg. We mean that he is a Shoigeg about the carbon. He knew that he was lying. He just did not know there was a chi of carbon. But Akulpanim suggested the Talmid. Mid the Kamalei, being that the Baraisa says that Shuas HaPikadon is more stringent than Shuas Huedus, because al Zedoina Makos, on the mazed of Shuas HaPikadon there is Makos, Michlal di Asri Beis, surely there was Hasra, because we never find Malkus without Hasra. And the Kamar, despite that, Makos and it says Malkus, yes, carbon light, but no carbon, because that's the whole point of the Baraisa. Now the Talmidim continue to present their argument. Umay Chumra, what does the Baraisa mean that Shuas HaPikadon is more stringent than Shuas Huedus? Because in regard to Shuas Huedus, there is always just the carbon, and in regard to Shuas HaPikadon, it is sometimes Malkus, sometimes the carbon. Lamaisa, it's never both, it's either Malkus or the carbon. So they're different, one is Malkus, one is the carbon, but why do we say per se that Shuas HaPikadon is more stringent than Shuas Huedus? There is one of the two inchim in either case. And for the Gemara, even though it is either the carbon or the Malkus, but still the Nichol Elyinish, the Maisi carbon, a person would much rather bring a carbon, will Lilki and not get Malkus. The male of the mere fact that there is Malkus instead of the carbon already is a stringency. So Lamaisa, that's what the Braisa means, and apparently the Braisa clearly states that there is Malkus b'mezid with a Srabe Shlus HaPikadek. Amalu Rav Bar Isi, you're bringing me a raya from a Beferish Tana. I know that there's a sheet of a Tana that has this opinion. Man Tana, who is the Tana that says Zodin Shlus HaPikadek loy nitn l'kapara? Reb Shimon, that's Reb Shimon. So this Braisa is Reb Shimon's sheet. Reb Kahana is not asking about Reb Shimon. He knows what Reb Shimon says. He wants to know, according to the Rabbana, they don't necessarily say that there was no carbon by Mesid. Memeila Abul Rabbanan carbon amimaisi. This price is Reb Shimon. But perhaps according to the Rabbanan, there would be a chiv of carbon, even by Mesid with Hasran. That is Reb Kahana's Shaila. Now even though Rav Bar Isi defends Reb Kahana's Shaila by saying that the price that you are trying to bring a raya from Zadas Yachad is Reb Shimon, Amul Reb Kahana says, B'chlal, forget that Baraisa. B'aminei diyahi. That would be a tremendous doichik to say that that Baraisa just works out according to the Pshimen. But I'm telling you, Diyanah Taninullah, I also have a Messiah in that Baraisa. V'yachi Taninullah, and this is how I have the Messiah in that Baraisa. And the way I have the Giz in the Baraisa, the way I have the Messiah of the Baraisa, rather, it doesn't answer my Shaila, because V'yachi Taninullah, this is how I learned. Echad Zedayna, it makes no difference if he is amazed at the Echad Shigigasa, or if he is a Shagig on the carbon. In both cases, Asham Bekesev Shkalim. We only bring the carbon Asha. Frek the Gemara, according to the way you have the Braisa, how do we put the words together? The Braisa is saying that Chamura Shuas HaPikadin is more stringent than Shuas HaEidos. Why? Because Shuas HaPikadin has a carbon, so does Shuas HaEidos. And for the Gemara, no, this is what the Braisa means. In both cases, there is only a carbon, but the carbon of Shuas HaPikadin is a more stringent carbon than the carbon of Shuas HaEidos. The Ili has some Chatas Basdank. You can bring a Chatas that costs anything. The Torah did not say how much the Chatas for Shuas HaEidos has to cost. It can even cost a Danka, which would be the equivalent of one Ma, a mere sixth of a dinner. Now the Hach over here, the Braisa stresses in regard to Shuas HaPikadon, it makes no difference if it's a Mezid or Shaygeg, but Asham Bekesev Shkalim. You have to buy an Asham Bekesev Shkalim that costs at least two Shkalim. That is what the Braisa means to say. Here the Torah puts an amount on the Asham, as we learned in the Mishnah. But in both cases, it is just a carbon. Frekti Gemara v'ligmer mineg, but Rav Kahana, you can still answer your Shaila. You had a threefold Shaila. You wanted to know if Mezid with Hasra is Malkus, is it carbon, or is it Malkus and carbon? So the Talmidim wanted to show you that there is a Braisa that says there is Malkus and no carbon. So you say there's no Raya, because according to my Gisa, the Braisa is saying there is just the carbon. So be pashut your Shaila, but Ligma Menei, that it's just the carbon. Answer the Gemara, no, Doma de Loyasri Dei. The way the Talmidim presented the Shaila, that the Baraisa says there was a Chi of Malkus, you have to say it is referring to Asra, because we can never have Malkus without Asra. But according to the way I have the Messiah in the Baraisa, that the Baraisa is just saying there was a Chi of carbon, then the Baraisa is not dealing with Malkus at all. We aren't dealing with Asra. And if there is no Asra, of course there is a Chi of carbon. The Pasuk obviously says there is a carbon, and that is where there is Mezid and no Hasra. My Shaila, says Rav Kahana, is what is the halacha when we have Mezid with Hasra? Is there Malkus, carbon, or Malkus and the carbon? Zok the Gemara Tashma, perhaps we can be patient with your Shaila. We learned, Ein Chayavin al Shigigasa. There is no Chayav for the Shagig of Shuas HaPikadon. And we also learned, Mahein Chayavin al Zedayna, what is the Chayav for the Mezid, Asham Bekasef Shkolim. So apparently we have here a mezid and nailav didiyasri based on mezid is with hasra. That's how the Gemara feels in the kash. However, the Gemara says, no, it's not a hechrach. Even though it says mezid over here, that does not necessarily mean mezid with hasra. Hachanami deloyasri bay. That's why there's a carbon. But we still don't have an answer for mezid with hasra. Tashma. Now the Gemara brings us to somewhat of a braisa or a sefri. We aren't sure exactly what this is. But the Gemara picks it up in the middle of the dialogue. Rashi explains that we have no idea what the dialogue is up until this point. What is important for us is this aspect of the dialogue. Lo yimamata b'nazir tameh. You can't bring a raya from nazir tameh, shekein loika, because the nazir tameh does receive malchus. Taimer b'shuas ha'pikada, and shuas ha'pikada is different, shein loika, because there is no malchus b'shuas ha'pikada. Now, what exactly we are trying to prove, we don't know, says Rashi. But the point is as follows. If such a statement can be made, Mida Kamar Loike, if we are saying in regard to Nazir Tami that there is Malkus, we have to be dealing with Hasra, because without Hasra there is no such a Metzias as Malkus. So whatever the scene is over there in Michalal di Asribe, one thing we know for sure, we are referring to a case of Hasra, the Kamar, and despite that the Baraisa says, Taimir Bishwa Sabikadin She'ain Loike, that there is no Malkus. So presumably, if the Braisa says there is no Malkus, Abu Karb Maisi, but there is a carbon. So this is the answer to Rav Kahana's Shaila. Shua Safi Kadai, we have here a case of Mezid with Hasra, there is Malkus and no carbon. Sakta Gamar, no, there's no Rai from the Braisa. All the Braisa says is Einoi Loike. My Einoi Loike, do you know what Einoi Loike means? The Einoi Nifter B'Malkus. The Brice is trying to say you can't bring a Raya from Nazir Tameh because in regard to Nazir Tameh, Malkus is adequate. Masha'enk, in regard to Shua Sepikadin, Eino Loika, Malkus is not adequate. Because along with the Malkus, you have to bring a carbon. That's what the Brice means. Frank the Gemara, Michlau. So, according to that, you're saying that the Nazir Tameh Nifter B'Malkus. According to the way you are working out the dialogue would read, Dafki Nazir Tamei is Malkus but no carbon. But Shua Sepikadin is both. It is Malkus and carbon. So are you saying that there is no carbon for another Tamei? A carbon Ksivbe. There is a Befeir Shapasik in the Torah that he brings a carbon. And for the Gemara, no. That carbon is a whole different kind of a carbon. That has nothing to do with this. Hasam Demaisi carbon Kehechi de Techol Leonizirus Betahara. In the dialogue over here, we are looking to define the essence of these two concepts. Now Rashi insists that we have absolutely no idea what the ultimate goal of the Braisa is. Taisus has several suggestions, but Rashi has the mahalach that it's not important. What's important is this aspect of the dialogue. For whatever reason, Nazir Tamei is different than Shua Sepikadin. Because in regard to Nazir Tamei, the Kapari is just Malkus, and in regard to Shua Sepikadin, the way of Kahan is learning now, there is both Malkus and the carbon. But mainly you see that the essence of Shua Sepikadin is different than the Nazir that becomes Tamei. The Nazir that becomes Tamei also brings a carbon. That carbon is in order to pave the way for the new Naziris, for him to start the Naziris of Tahara. He has to bring a carbon. But that doesn't depict the essence of the concept. Because that carbon is not a kapara. So Mamela, we have not basically proven anything one way or another. Now at this point in the Gemara, the conversation stops between Rav Kahana and the three Talmidim learning by Rabba, and the Talmidim return to Rabba, and apparently they explain to their Rebbe what happened, that Rav Kahana approached them, and Rav Kahana said to them, you are the Talmidim that are learning Hilchos Shvuos by Rabba, then let me ask you, what is the halacha in regard to Shvuos HaPikadin with Mezid and Hasra? Rabba, however, will not attempt to answer the Shaila, because he says there's something wrong with the basis of the Shaila. According to my teachings, Rabba will explain, Rav Kahana's Shaila B'chlal is not even Shaila. For Rabba is of the opinion that one is not chayiv in Shvuos HaPikadin if it is Kfiras Dvarim the Alma. If I have a Bekadin, and I lie, and I say I don't have it, naturally that is a lie. If there are other Edom that can prove that I do have it, it isn't an effective lie, because I would have to pay for it regardless. That type of a lie, says Rabba, does not result in a carbon, because that is called Kfiras Dvarim B'Alma. It's a lie, but it has no meaning. If there aren't any Edom, and I lie, and I want to get away with paying, over here, I am chayv of the carbon. Memela, the Gemara says as follows. Amru Rabbanan Kameh de Rabba. The Rabbanan came back and they said to Rabba, Rav Kahana asked us the Shaila. What is the halacha b'meizid with hasra by Shua Sabakadim? Amalu, so Rabba told him that is what he asked you? Mechlau, we see from here that Rav Kahana's only difficulty was what happens if there is Eden and hasra. But the chilo yashribe, suppose we have Shua Sabakadim and there is no hasra, the ikka Eden, although that there are Eden, Mechayef, he is still Chayef. His Shaila is only what happens when there is Asra. Now, if you're talking about Asra, there has to be Edom. The Edom can't warn him not to lie if they don't know for a fact that he's lying. So Edom know that he has the Pekadim. Now, if that is the case, Lamai Nafkin, mean if there is Asra, there isn't Asra. If there isn't Asra, then Rav Kahana is sure that there is a Chayef Karmel? Kfiras Dvarim B'Almahu. In that case, it is just a Kfiras Dvarim B'Almahu. It isn't an effective lie. There are Edom regardless. The lie will not result in any lack of payment. So even without Hasra, there shouldn't be any Chiyuv. Alma says the Gemara, we see from here, Kisava Rabba, that the Rabba is of the opinion, HaKayfer B'mamay, Shiyesh Alef Edim, if somebody is a Kayfer in Mamay, where there are Edim regardless, Pater, he is Pater. Because unlike Rav Kahana, Rab is of the opinion, the only time one is chayav a carbon for lying about a pekadoin is when that lie had the potential to make it free of paying. But being that there were edim regardless, in that case, the lie simply has no real meaning to it. Amalei Rav Chanina l'Rabba, Tanya de Messiah lach, I will bring you a raya that indeed you are right. There is no chayav carbon when there is a kfiras dvarim bi'alma, when there is no effective lie. The basics are as follows. If a person lies to his friend about a pekadin, or about a loan, or about a gizela, oimatza aveda v'chichesh ba, v'nishba al shaket, and he swears falsely, and then the pasuk goes on to describe the carbon asha. So the Baraisa dashes is as follows. V'chichesh ba, prat l'moida l'echad min ha'achin, or l'echad min ha'shutfin. Suppose one brother comes, and he claims a pekadin or a gizela, whatever the case may be, and he is moida to one of the brothers, and he lies to another. Or two partners claim him. He lies to one of the partners, but he acknowledges the true situation to a different partner. Here there is no chiyuv carbon. This is excluded from the pasuk v'chichesh ba. The pasuk continues, v'nishba al sheker, he swears falsely, prat l'loiza d'shtar u'l'loiza d'eidim. So presumably what this means is that if someone lies, but the lie will not do him any good regardless, because there are edim, or there is a shtar, in that case there is no chiyuv karbon, because it is kfiras dvarim bi'alma, it is not an effective kfira. And the Mela, this is a raya to Rabba, who says that when we are dealing with a kfiras dvarim bi'alma, there is no chiyuv karbon. Amalei, so he told him, imishim ha, if you are trying to bring a raya to me from this braisa, loy tistayin, the truth is that there is no raya. Rabba himself will not accept a raya from a baraisa even to his own cause if he believes that it is not the truth. Because one can interpret this baraisa be yomer levisi, but v'loy levisi be eidim. Levisi or v'loy levisi be shtar. The baraisa is b'yatsin very vague. The baraisa is dashing the pasuk. It has to be a shvuas sheker. And this excludes if he lies and there are eidim, and if he lies and there is a shtar. Now what this means, or what this could mean, explains Rabba, is that he took a loan with a shtar or with Eidim, and he lies about the shtar and about the Eidim, and he says there is no shtar, or there aren't any Eidim. There were never any Eidim present at the time of the loan. But he is not being kofer in the Yatsim loan. He is moided that he owes the money. In this case, there is no chiyuv karbon, even though he's lying about the shtar. But in the case where he's mamish lying about the money, perhaps the Braisa doesn't mean that. Why should I assume that shtar? It seems a bit roundabout. It seems much more simplistic to say that he is lying about the etzem money. It's just that there is a shtar or there is aid, and that would be the pashut of pshat, the braisa. So the Rabba, there would be a hechrach to learn the other way. Midiktani, let's look at the first part of the braisa. The first part of the braisa dashens v'chichesh ba, prat, l'moida l'echad min ha'achin, if he is moida to one of the brothers, or l'echad min ha'shutfin, or if he lies to one of the partners, and he is moida to the other partner. Now, highly echad min ha'achin hechidami, what exactly is he acknowledging to one of the brothers or to one of the partners? Ilema di oidele bepalga today, is pshat that we have two partners here, each one has a 50% interest, and he is moided to one that he owes him the 50%, and he is lying to the other. Then oika kfir di idach. So pshat is two people are claiming something, he's lying to one, and he's being moided to the other. In regard to the one that he's lying to, that is a complete, full-fledged lie. There is no drawbacks to that. So why should there not be a chi of carbon? Elalaf, we must say, pshat is as follows. The army lay mitervayin yizavta. Two brothers come and they say, you took money from both of us. The amalahu, and he says to them, loy, it's not true. I did not take $100 from both of you, but michad minay chuyasi. I took $100 from one of you. Your brother or your partner has no share in this. So Lamaisa, again, he's not lying about the etz of money. Now over here, the Braisa gives us a reasonable chiddush that there would be no chiv carbon. He's lying, but he's not lying about the amount. To have you like this would constitute kfiras dvarim bi'alma. Because the parsha de pshat, the two partners come and claim something and he admits to one and he lies to the other, so he's lying about 50%. So that's not kfiras dvarim bi'alma. Why shouldn't he be chayiv? to one of these people, he is totally lying to him. So we have to learn this other pshat, that he's just lying about who he owes the money to, but he's not lying about the answer amount. Being that the reisha, the first chiddush of moed liyachod min ha'achin, is just a kfiras dvarim, seif nami bihechach is nothing more than a kfiras dvarim. And the mele, when the brisa tells us the nishbal shakar excludes one that lies about a shtar or edim, this does not mean that he lies about the amount, but he will have to pay regardless because there is a shtar and edim, which would be a raya to rabba. But rather it means he lies about the shtar, and he says there is no shtar, but he is not lying about the amount. So what we have here at this point, although indirectly, l'maisa, we have a machlokes between Rabba and Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana Bavadeh is of the opinion that one would be chayiv and shvuos of a kadin, even though it is just a kfiras dvarim bi'alma, even though it is not an effective lie, meaning that although he lies and says, I don't have the kadin, there are edim anyhow, he should still be chayiv a karbon. And Rabbi says, no, the only time he is chayiv a karbon is if he lies with the intent of avoiding payment. But if that's not going to be effective in his avoiding payment regardless, then there is no chayiv karbon. Simon zakti gemara chayiv kitas, the balabais, chaymer and zir, these are going to be the rayas, and it's basically going to be the same mission that we had until now, which we are going to use again to try to prove this new shayla one way or another. Tashma, einai chayiv al shigigasa. We learned that one is not chayiv on the shoigeg of shuas hapikadon. Imahu chayiv. And what is he chayiv and when is he chayiv? Al zedayna, he has to be amazed, and he is chayiv in asham, that has to be the value of the kesef shkol. The Torah gives an amount of how much the asham has to cost. Now, my last is the Gemara. When we say here amazed, it means zadayin edim. Amazed because there are edim here that gave him a hasrah. Generally, stam, when we say mazed without any further explanation, it tends to mean with edim. Now, if there are edim again, that means it's a kfiras dvarim bi'alma. He will achieve nothing with his denial regardless. And despite that, we learn here that he is chayv the carbon. He's amazed on his own. He knows that he's lying. But there are no edim. Tashma. We learned in the Mishnah in Shavuos Eidos as follows. Hayishtei kiti edim. If there were two sets of witnesses, Kafra Harashina, the first denied that they know any testimony, the Achakach Kafra Hashni, and then the second group denied. Shtein Chayavis, the halacha is that they are both liable, and the reason is Meshiachayla Eidos Lehiskayim B'Shtein. The testimony could potentially be upheld by any one of the two sets. Now the Mishnah told us right before that if we have one aid who lies about the testimony, and the other aid did not lie yet, that second witness is not chayiv, because even if he would say the truth, he wouldn't accomplish anything. He remains an edech. Masha'enkin, if you have two sets of edim, and one set denied the testimony, when the second set of edim follows and they too deny the testimony, they are also chayiv, because they could have upheld the testimony. They are a complete set. Now, frek the Gemara as follows. Bishlema granted Shania, the second group of edim, to chayiv, they are chayiv. Why? The Karfala Kafra Shaina. At the time the second set of Edom are denying testimony, they are the only ones that could possibly uphold the testimony. Ela Shaina, but the first group, Amay Mechayiv, why should they be Chayiv? We turn out to Amid Beis. Hukayam Shniyah. The second set is still available at the time the first deny. Elamai, there is a raya from here, that even though it is a kviras mamon sheyeshol of Aden, it still constitutes a kvira. So it's a kashan rabbi who says the lie has to be an effective lie. And for the Gemara, no, there's no raya from here. Because I will show you that the case is where at the time the first set of Aden denied the testimony, the second set were not valid. And the male of their kvira was an effective kvira. Amar Avinah. The second set of Edom, the Shas Kfiras Rishayna, at the time that the first set denied the testimony, Kraven bin Shaysay, they were then relatives through marriage. The person involved in the dispute over here had two sisters, and these two sisters were married to the second set of Edom. Memela, at the time the first set of Edom denied testimony, there was no one at that point that could have upheld the testimony because the other Edom were crazy. The problem is, then what's the chiddush?
Of course.
If at the time the first set of Edom denied testimony, there were no other Edom, of course they were chayiv. And so the Gemara, the Chiddush is, although v'nishay seyin geisesais, even though the second set of Edom would not be possible for long, because the two sisters were both dying. Now the time I would think, Raiv geises in Lamisa, Kamash Mulan, that even though Raiv geises in Lamisa, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. The fact that the second group of Edom are going to become kosher has no bearing whatsoever on the first group of Edom, because at the time the first group of Edom denied testimony, there were no other kosher Edom. Now Rashi and virtually all the Rishonim stress this emphatically. Kamash Malan does not mean Kamash Malan that Raiv Geisesin are not Lamisa, because Lahalacha, Raiv Geisesin are Lamisa. It's Kamash Malan that even though Raiv Geisesin Lamisa, that has nothing to do with it. At the time of the Kfira, there were no other Kasher Edom. So Lamisa, we have no cash over here on Rabbah. We cannot prove from here that one is high for Kfira's Dvarim B'Alma, because it was not Kfira's Dvarim B'Alma. The time the first sect denied testimony, they were the only Kasher Edom. Tashma, I will attempt to prove it from a different source. Balabayas Shetan Tainas Ganav Pipakadah. If we come and we ask our Pekadin back from the Balabayas, and the Balabayas claims, I'm sorry, it was stolen. Obviously, he is a Shemer Chinam, and the Allah is that a Shemer Chinam is Pater, on Geneva the Aved. The Nishbani swears to the effect that it was stolen, and the male I am Pater. The Haida, and then he was made that it's not true, it was never stolen. It was stolen, but he was the one that stole it. Iboyed, and after he was made, the Edom came. And the Edom said, yes, we saw the Pekadin in his possession after he claims that it was stolen. So the Allah is as follows. If he chapped the Rhine and he managed to be made to admit what he did before the Edom came, Mishalan Karen, he pays the principal, the Chaimish V'Asham, the extra Chaimish and the Asham, but no Kefal, because the Kefal is a fine, it's a Knatz, and the Allah is made the Knatz, is part. Now the Chaimish V'Asham he has to pay Machmas Shwasa Pikadin, that is not a Knatz. But the Kefal he does not have to pay. However, if the Edom first came and said he still has the Bekadin, and only then did he admit, it is too late. Meshalmi has to pay along with the Asham, Tashlumi Kefal V'Asham. Now, as we see here, the Chaimish has been omitted because whenever you pay a Knas, there is no Chaimish. That is the Gzeiros HaKasif, because the Pasuk says in regard to the Chaimish, the Chamishisa Yosef Olav, and we dash, and it has to be Dafka Mamin Hamishtalim Biroish. It is then that you are Moisev a Chaimish, Olav, on the principle. But when there is a Kefal, there is no Chaimish. But Akupan, what do we see clearly over here? That although we are dealing with a carbon, there is an independent set of Edom that are aware of what happened. Now that means when he lies, it is really Kfiras Dvarim B'Alma, because there are Edom regardless. So it's a Raya to Rav Kahana and a Kasha on Rava. We see from here that although there are Edom regardless, and the Kfiras Dvarim is a Kfiras Dvarim B'Alma, he is still Chayav a Karban. Answer the Gemara, no. Hachanami Kidravina, we can use the same Teretz as we used previously. At the time that he lied, no Edom existed. Only after the lie did the Edom show up. How can that be? Because at the time that he lied, the Edom were crazy. There was no kosher Edom. Mela, his lie is a real kfira. It's an effective lie. He would not have to pay. Afterwards, the two sisters died. The Edom are no longer crazy. Now they can come and testify. But at the time of his lying, the kfira was a real kfira. Now the shaila that Rabbi Akiva Eger works with is, how can these Edom suddenly become kosher? We have a klal, if it's tchilasi b'tzol, they can't turn kosher afterwards. They have to be kosher from the beginning of the case. So there are several explanations to this. One of the mahalchim that he suggests is that the Edom are really starting a brand new testimony now as kosher Edom. If these Edom would have to testify that he lied, and at the time that he lied they were apostle Edom and a chanami, it would be tchilasi b'tzol. But that's not what they're testifying. These Edom aren't saying that he lied. These Edom are testifying that this man has a chayfetz in his possession that is the Pekardite. That is the extent of their testimony. Right now they're testifying that, and right now they're kashra Edom. So it isn't chilasi b'tzol. Zok the Gemara right. Amalei Ravinu Levashi Tashma. I will bring you a right in regard to this dispute of Kfiras Dvarim B'Alma. We learned Chamur Mimena Shuas HaPikada. Shuas HaPikada is more stringent than Shuas HaEdus. Shechayavan Al Zedayna Makos V'Yal Shagigasa Asham B'Kesh Shkal. Now, Midakam, like if we say that there is a Chi of Malchus over here, Michlal the Ikke Edom. There must be Edom, because without Edom there is no Malkus. And the comer despite that, we say in that very same case, Al Shigigasa, he is Chayiv in Oshem because of Shkol. So we see that even though there are Edom, he is still Chayiv for lying. Amalur of Mordechai, Barmin Ediahi, you can't bring a right from that Baraisa. The Amalur of Kahana, Rav Kahana has already stated, as we saw in Amid Aleph, that I'm not Tanin Allah, I have a Messiah in that Baraisa. V'hachi Tanin Allah, this is how I have the Messiah in that Baraisa. It should read as follows. Echad Zedayna v'echad Shigigasa, both are Asham v'kesef Shkalim. And there is no Malkus over here. Now once we say there is no Malkus, there is no Hechruch that the Zadin means Zadin Eden. It means he's amazed on his own. He knows that he's amazed, but there are no Edom. Because according to Rav Kahana, if there would be Edom, he would not be chayv a carbon for lying. Tashma, we learned, loyim amatav nazir tameh, you can't bring a raya from nazir tameh, shekain loyka, because in regard to nazir tameh, there is malchus. Taimri v'shua sapi carbon, in the very same case, shekain loyka, there is no malchus. There is just the carbon. Now, hechidami, idolaka Edom, are we referring to a case where there are no Edom? Then am I looking, why is there Malkus? If there are no Edom to give Hasra to the Nazir, then there can't possibly be Malkus. Ela Pshita Zakta Gemara, Teik Edom, Vadi there are Edom. And in the Katani, what did we learn? Taimer v'shua sapikadain she'ein alaika. In the very same case, there is no Malkus v'shua sapikadain. So Milki Yidilaylaki, there is no Malkus. I will carve Maisi, but a carbon he does have to bring, even though there are Edom. So Tiyufta the Rabbi Tiyufta, and we see from here that the Chiyuv of Shuas HaBikadain is in all cases. If he lies about the Bikadain, he is Chayiv a carbon, even though he would have not achieved exemption from payment on the basis of his lie. Even though there are Edom regardless, he is still Chayiv a carbon. Zuk the Gemara Vaitin, now we see a similar Machlaikis. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, HaKayiv the moment Sheyesh all of Edom, if somebody denies money for which there are witnesses regardless, chayiv is chayiv. Bishtar, however, bishtar, if he denies alone where there is a shtar, potter he is potter. Amar Papa, my time in the Rabbi Yochanan. Why, if he denies alone where there are edim regardless, he is chayiv, but if he denies alone where there is a shtar, he is potter? It is because edim avidi denaisi. The fact that there are edim, that is not something that is going to live forever. The edim may die. The male, you cannot say his kvira is totally useless. If the Edom die, then his kvira would be effective. Shtar hamanach, but in regard to a shtar, it doesn't die. It'll always be there. How can you be sure the shtar will always be there? A shtar can also get lost. If you're assuming this position, that if there is a potential for the kvira ever to become effective, he is chayiv, then the same should be true for the shtar. This is why Rabbi Yochanan says that if there are Edom, he is chayiv regardless, but if he lies about a loan where there is a shtar, he is potter. Mishum to have a shtar, shibud karkois, and the ein mizian carbon al kfiras shibud karkois. The structure of a loan with a shtar and a loan without a shtar is totally different. A loan with a shtar means that there is a coil. Because there is a coil, because people know about it, if there was a closing, there was a mortgage, there are papers, then the mela, there was a shibud on the karka. Should the loiva default on the loan, the malva has a right to collect from the karka, even though he sold that karka, as long as he sold it after the loan. Because anyone that bought karka from the loiva should have known that there was a shibud. Now because a loan with a shtar is an automatic shibud on karka, so when you lie about a loan pertaining to a shtar, that pertains to karka. And the klal is, there is no shvura for karka. As we will see later on, B'ez Hashem, ein nishbon al karkos. Memela, even if he does swear, although he is lying, there is no din of a chi of carbon, because the shvura simply in regard to karka is not considered a regular shvura. Memela, Rabbi Yochanan says, if he lies about a loan with a shtar, the shvura does not constitute a regular shvura for a chi of carbon. But if he lies about a loan where there are edim, he would still be chayv a carbon. Itmar zakt gemar, mashbia ede karka. If somebody is mashbia witnesses to come and testify on his behalf for a claim of land, the shaila is there a chi of carbon over here for shvura for edus? Zok the Gemara, Pligi ba Rabbi Yochanan ve Rabbi Elazar. Chadam Rechayev, one man the Yomer says, yes, this is a valid Shua Soedis situation. Chadam Repater, one man the Yomer says, that he is Pater. This time says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Amr Pater. It is Rabbi Yochanan that says that he is Pater. Me the Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hakoifer b'mamon sheyesh al avedim chayev. If somebody lies about money, whether it is Adam, regardless, he is chayev. Whoever star, if he lies about a loan, whether it is a star, regardless, potter, he is potter. And look at the Rafhuna b'reidid of Yeshua, according to the Rafhuna b'reidid of Yeshua's explanation, that the reason he is potter is because any loan with a star is automatically a loan that is associated with karka, and a shvua in regard to karka does not constitute a full-fledged shvua for a chiyuv karb. The male is Dr. Gemara Tistayim, it is Taka a good raya, that is of Yoichanan, who says, Mashbiya Edi Karka are potter. Any shvua that is associated with Karka cannot result in a carb. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyot Rabbi Vol. Lema let us say Rabbi Yoichanan with Rabbi Lazar beplukta the Rabbi Eliezer with Rabbi Bona Kamifluki. It seems that this machlokes between Rabbi Yoichanan and Rabbi Lazar in regard to being Mashbiya Edi Karka is the same machlokes as the machlokes of Tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbi Bona. The Tananfu we learned in the Mishnah. Hagoidu sadat mechaveri. If somebody steals a field from his friend, and v'shat v'nar, it is then flooded by a river. Chayiv lihamid loy sade. If you want to return and rectify what you did wrong, you have to return another field. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that karka is an exalus. If it is shaykh al pi halacha to steal karka, that means the karka is in your reshus. It is your karka. In order for you to rectify that, to be mekayim the mitzvah of hashava, you have to return something out of your reshus to his reshus. So if you stole karka, you have to return karka. If this karka is useless now, then you have to return different karka. The chachamim say, I'm Allah, you can simply tell him, arei shalach lefanecha, you want your field back, go and take it. It's flooded, that is not my fault. Because the Chacham are of the opinion that karka ain't an exalus. Al pi halacha, it is impossible logistically to steal karka. You can claim that it is yours, but lamais al pi halacha, it is still considered in the reshus of the original balabas. Memela, it's not shaykh to say that I stole karka away from you and I have to return karka. I never took it, al pi halacha. Al pi halacha was always yours. I have to allow you back onto the field, but I am allowing you to do that. The fact that it is flooded now is not really the Gazlan's responsibility. Now, why does this pertain to the machlokes of being mashbiya edi karka? Because the Amrina, we say, what is the basis of the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, if or if not, karka is an exalus? Rabbi Eliezer darish ribui umiyuti. Rabbi Eliezer dashens the klal of ribui and miyut. That is how he learns things from Sukkot. The Rabbanan Darshi Klali Iprati. The Rabbanan work with the Klali Iprati Klal. Those are two different sets of rules, and in Mela, one would derive two different sets of drashes. This is how Rabbi Eliezer learns the pasuk with the Klalim of Ribi and Miut. Rabbi Eliezer Darish Ribi Umiyuti. And therefore the pasuk is to be understood as follows. The Chichesh Biyamisai. That is to be viewed as an amplification, so to speak, as a Ribui. He lies to his neighbor, Riba. Then the pasuk is limited, the pekadin or yibisasumas yad, pertaining to a pekadin or to a law. Miyat, that is a limitation. Then again, the pasuk reads, oimi kol ashi yeshava, chaz of a riba, that is another riba. So we have a riba, followed by a miyat, and again a riba, and the klal is riba hakol. In this case, you are marba everything. In other words, the basic attitude is we are marba everything. Everything is included in the parsha. There may be one limitation, but generally, everything is included. My Reba, factually speaking, what do we learn from here? Reba kol mili. Everything is included in this parsha, including karka. Umay miyut, what is the one limitation? So we have to look for the concept that is the most dissimilar. And miyut shtaris. Therefore, we will be mamayit shtaris from this whole parsha. Because a shtar is not really mamay. That makes it so much different than anything else. If somebody destroys a shtar, you aren't really destroying property. You are destroying something that represents property. And the mela is not included in the pasha. The Rabbanan darshi, the Rabbanan however, they darshan the klal uprati, generalities and specifics, which is a whole different set of guidelines. According to them, the pasuk is understood as follows. The chichesh biyamisai klal, that is a generality. The pekadin oy besesumas yad oy begazel prat, these are all specifications. Then the pasuk is general again, oy mikol ashi yeshava olav, chazav a klal. So we have a klal, generality first, the prat, specifications following it, the klal, and again, a reiteration of a general statement, and the klal is, we have a klal, a prat, a klal, iatadan elaka'ena prat. You take the whole concept and you say it all has to be similar to the prat. The prat isn't an exception, but rather the prat teaches us what the klal is. And the mela, this leads us to the following conclusion. Maha prat, just like the prat, just like the specifications, are mefurish dover hametaltal v'gufay mamet, it has to be something that can be moved, liyafuke real estate, and something that is gufay mamet, lafuke yashtar, which is only a representation, a value, is af kol dover hametaltal v'gufay mamet. This entire pasha refers only to things that are metaltal, and items that have an intrinsic value. Yatsu karkois shein metaltal. This pasha does not apply to karkois because you can't move karka. Yatsu avadim shehukshu lekarkois. Avadim are always in the same category as karka because there is a hekesh. And yatsu shtareis she'afal pisha metaltalin. Indeed, you can move shtareis, but ain gufan mamain. They represent value, but they don't have a value. Now, the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanim the Tanaim is in regard to the din hashava of karka. When I steal karka, is that a legal transfer of rishus, and the mela I have the obligation to return karka? If the karka is destroyed in the interim, I have to return different karka. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. And the sheet of the Rabbanan is that being that the din hashava does not apply to karka, the mela I never stole it. Even though I, b'metzias, may not let the balabas onto his karka, the fact is that legally speaking, it is never in my rishus. And I can always say, reish alach l'fanecha. That is the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbana. But we would have reason to say that being that the parasha deals with the chiyuv of carbon as well as the din of hashava, this is basically a very general parasha in all inyani mamonis. The mail of the same machlokes should apply to Shlula. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the psukim, according to his understanding of the psukim, refers to karka as well, would say that the chiyuv Shlula applies to karka. And the Rabbana, that by dashing and klali prati, remove karka from this entire pasha, would also remove karka from the concept of shvuah. Menela says the Gemara, seemingly, this machloikas samirayim is a machloikas tanayim. Man the machayev, the same man the yomar who says that one is chayev for being mashbiya eide karka ka Rabbi Eliezer, and man the pata ka Rabbana. Amalei loy, not necessarily. Enochana. Man the machayev, the man the yomar that says mashbiya eide karka chayev ka Rabbi Eliezer. He clearly must learn like Rabbi Eliezer, because the Rabbanan that exclude karka from this parasha would also exclude karka from shvua. However, iman the potter, the man the yomer that says mashbiya edi karka, our potter amalach, he can tell you that bihar in regard to the shvua, afilu Rabbi Eliezer might. Even Rabbi Eliezer, who says it's shayach to steal karka and there is a din hashava on karka, he would say there is no shvua in regard to karka. Why should the shvua be different than the yeshava? Because in regard to the shvua, the Rachman Amr, the pasuk says, Mikael v'loi hakael. Indeed, it's all in the same parasha, the concept of hashava and the concept of shvua, but there is an extra letter over here when the Torah refers back to the Chaimish and to the Yasha. The Lashon pasuk is as follows. Oy Mikael ashi yeshava olav lashaka, v'chamishisa yosef olav, as hashama yavi. So Mikael, there is an additional limitation. Mikael from everything mentioned previously, but not everything applies to the Asha. There is one limitation to the carbon Asha. So we had already one miut in the Pasha. And the Mela Rabbi Eliezer excluded the most dissimilar concept from the Din Hashava, and that is Shtar. Now, however, we have an additional miut in regard to the Shvua. So we have to look to something else, which is dissimilar. And we would have to say that that is karka, because in the specifics that the Torah does give, the Torah only mentions things that are metaltalim, and not karka. So in a Hanami, overall, Rabbi Eliezer does include karka in the parasha. But in regard to this one aspect of the parasha, and that is the aspect of shvua, here there is an additional miut, and from that miut, even Rabbi Eliezer would be memayit karka. So if we have concluded with anything at the end of this dialogue, it is that Rabbi Yochanan's Shita seems to stand up more with all of the Tanaim. because it is Rabbi Yochanan who says that there is no shvuah for karka. That clearly works out according to the Rabbanan, who say karka has nothing to do with the whole parsha, and it can even work out according to Rabbi Eliezer, because in regard to shvuah, even Rabbi Eliezer would be a mayat karka. Amar of Papa Mishmei the Rabbah continues the Gemara, Masnit Nami Deka. From our Mishnah, we can also bring a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Tiktani will let now Mishnah as follows. Ginavta of Shavi, you stole my axe. Vuhu Aymer, he says, Lo Ginavti, I did not steal it. Mashbiyachani, Vuyomer, he says, Amen. Chayiv is Chayiv. Now the Mishnah uses the example of the axe, but Vilu Ginavta as Avdi, which should have been just as good of an example, like Tani. Although the Mishnah is constantly referring to the halachas pertaining to an Eved. The Mishnah is talking about the Knas, or the Shlosh Mishkolim of the Eved. The Mishnah refers to the halachas of Shen V'Yayin. All of those claims are referred to. But this one claim is not referred to. He accuses him Ganafta as Shoiri. The Mishnah does not use the case of Ganafta as Avdi. My time, Lav Mishum the Eved Iskish L'Kakos. Because Enachanami, there would not be a carbon in regard to a claim for an Eved. Because an Eved is Iskish L'Kakos. And the Ein Mevi'in carbon are Kfiyos Shivut Kakos, which is a riot to the B'yayichana. Amar of Papi Mishmei Derav. Aim is safer, but look at the safe of the Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes, Zeh Klal, this is the general rule. Kala Mashalim al Piyatzmai, any person that would have to pay, even if he admitted on his own Chayiv is Chayiv, or Shiyena Mashalim al Piyatzmai, any person that would not have to pay, if he admits on his own, which would be Knosses, Patri would be Patri. Now, Zeh Klal Yasiyei Mai, whenever a Mishnah reiterates and says, Zeh Klal, this is the general rule, it comes to be Marba something. My love, Liasuya, it comes to be Marba, Ganafta, Esadi, that claim as well, even though that claim is not brought down by Feirish in the Mishnah. The Mela Zakta Gemara, Elamihol, Lekalamashmina, and Hanami, from the Mishnah, we have no Raya. Now, Taisvis and many other Shaymen point out somewhat of a problem here. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that Shibuda is the Raisa even by a Milva Alpeh, although, as explained previously, the Shibud is Dafka by a Milva Bishtah. If I am a malva and my loiva defaults on payment, I can only collect from karka that he sold after the loan. If it is a milva v'shtar, if the loan was made with a shtar, because then whoever bought that karka should have been careful. Had he checked, he would have found out that the loiva owes money and there was a shibud on the karka that he is buying. It is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that it is lav davka a shtar. Rabbi Yochanan says Beferish Masechtos Bava Basra that Shibuda is the Raisa, there is a Shibud on the karak of the Loiva, even in the case of a Milva Alpeh. Now if that is the case, we never have a situation where we can apply Shvua Suedis or Shvua Sapikadin. Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here that by Shtar there is no Shvua Suedis or Shvua Sapikadin. Being that it is associated automatically with karka, it is considered a Shvua on karka, and that is not a Shvua for Karbin. Every Halva, anytime someone owes money, anytime you have a bekarden, it is always associated with karka, according to the Yochanan, because he says Shibuda d'araisa even the milvah peh. So it turns out you never have a shuas aredus or shuas abikarden situation. So Mamela Taisa suggests that Anachanan, according to the Yochanan, the only time you would have a case of shuas aredus or shuas abikarden is where it was clearly made up at the time of the halvah that there would not be a shibud, although at the halacha there should be a shibud on the karka. If they made up that he is moichel the shibud, and the malva said, I will not collect from the karka, only then is there a case of shuas aledis or shuas apikada. The Ran, however, suggests that we need not go that far, because even according to the Yochanan, who says shibud di araisa without a shtar, any halvah with edim is an automatic shibud, that is bedafka with a specific type of edus. If the edim come and testify and they say yes, Ruvain did take funds from Shimon, and he did not pay those funds back. We were watching Reuven and Shimon the whole time. We never took our eyes off him once, and we know for a fact he never paid back. In that case, there was a shibud even on the karka. Shimon can go now and collect funds from karka that Reuven sold. However, if all the Edom say is yes, we know Reuven took the money from Shimon, but we cannot say for sure that Reuven never paid that money back, because, as the case generally would be, we were not together with Reuven and Shimon from the time of the Halvah. In that case, even according to the Yochanan, says the Ran, there is no Shibud on the karka, because Reuven can always tie, and you can't go to the person that bought the field from me and take that away. Who says I didn't pay back? You just have Edom that saw me take the money. But they can't say for sure that I never returned it. So the Mele Ran explains that this is not a problem, because even according to the Yochanan, who says she booted the Yeraisa without a shtar, in most cases, if there is no shtar, it is not shaykh to say that there is a shibud, and the Mele, the loan is not associated with any karka, and therefore it is shaykh to apply shuas of edus and shuas apikada.